Well, good morning, everyone. How is everyone? Are we well? Nodding heads. Good. Nice to see lots of students. Welcome, as you've already been welcome, but welcome again. And so let's launch in. As a reminder, we are in our slightly more simplified format post-lockdown, having the older kids in the meeting and this talk reduced down to hopefully somewhere near 20 minutes. So Matt and I tends to prefer a more lengthy amount of time, but probably better for everyone. So we're going to try and condense it into 20 minutes or thereabouts. And I feel a little bit like a preaching auctioneer in the new system. It's just like, reel it out. But anyway, we'll get underway and try and keep it somewhere close to that. So as an introduction, really, I just want to pick up on some things that Matt has brought to us recently, which was, as we all know and we'll be able to recite because we're so good, is really that God's spoken three things to the church recently, and they were for us to gather in, sharpen up, and then reach out. That was really, I think, prophetic word for the church. And this morning, I want to focus on the sharpening up side of things. That's what I want to talk about and bring us all into that. So, let me read to us. If you've got your Bible, you can open it to Matthew 6. This is our verse for the morning. And it is Matthew 6, verse 6, and it says this, we know it well. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So we all know that well, simple verse, Jesus giving us instructions. When you pray, something that we all must do, something every day, part of our lives, we must pray. And how do we do it? We go somewhere where we can be quiet and we can shut the door. And the shutting the door is closing the door to everything that is outside, all the noise, all the clamor, all the distractions. And there we speak to God and he is with us. He rewards us with himself. Simple, clear instruction. And what hinders us from doing that? We did the prayer course last year. I know a lot of us enjoyed it. But what came out of it, understandably, and it always is the case when you talk about prayer, is basically a shared sense of, I don't pray enough. I'm not there. I'm not in my room with the door closed enough. So what is the hindrance? What hinders us? I was asked to speak at an 18 to 30s conference recently. I went there, and I felt like God had given me a specific word for them. And one of the things that I said to these sort of young people who were sort of, there was a lot of them. They were all on fire for God, 18 to 30. Age group, and I said to these guys, my friend sat here, the world is not your friend. It's not. And, you know, we could turn to James 4, and friendship with the world puts us in the place of being an enemy with God. And the world is not your friend. It will not do us any favors. And there's a lesson for us in the parable of the sower. We all know it well. You can turn to it in Luke 8, and you get the more obvious things in the story to do with the seed and how it doesn't end up bearing fruit or growing. But one of the things it talks about is the pleasures of life choking. And then in Mark 4:19, you get desires for other things. They sound pretty innocuous, the pleasures of life and just desires for other things, choking the word and proving it to be unfruitful, thinking about what hinders us getting into that room and closing the door. Let me read this to us. This is from a book John Tyson wrote, which I highly recommend. And this is actually a John Piper quote. He's commenting on the power of Western culture. And he says this, Jesus said, some people hear the word of God and a desire for God is awakened in their hearts. But then, as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And in another place, he said, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. The pleasures of life and the desires for other things, these are not evil in themselves. These are not vices. These are gifts from God. They are your basic meat and potatoes and coffee and gardening and reading and decorating and traveling and investing, TV watching, social media, and shopping and exercising and collecting and talking, all of them can become deadly substitutes for God himself. The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. It is not the X-rated video, but the primetime dribble of triviality we drink in every single night. It's good, isn't it? It's not the big things, you know, we can see them coming a mile off, but it's the trivial nonsense of the world that we consume and we consume that basically just brings a numbness to us in relation to going into a room, closing the door, and knowing intimate relationship with God. So what shall we do? What's the answer? Well, this morning I want to try and provide a really practical answer to that question. Again, because of time, we can't go into it. But the disciples have brought someone demon-possessed, and they can't cast out the demon. And then they bring Jesus, and he casts out the demon. And afterwards, the disciples say, Lord, why couldn't we do that? We've done it before. What was different this time? And Jesus said to them, this kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. And essentially, again, you could unpack this, and we haven't got time, but there's something I think we need to do. Prayer and fasting is a very practical thing we can do. And I think this kind of trouble and problem that we currently have in the church in the West of just sheer powerlessness and friendship with the world, this kind can only really be dealt with by more than just endless debate and a good book here and a good debate over here and a great Christian thinker over here, but by prayer and fasting. And so what I'm suggesting this morning, and I want all of us, even if you're a visitor, you can get on board with this, but as a church and everyone here, what I'm suggesting is a week of prayer and fasting. And I want us all to do it together, and I want us to really get stuck into this, but there's more to say. So let me just say this again. In this book, John Tyson has a good section on fasting, and he says, fasting is spiritual resistance against Western cultural numbness. That's what we're after. We need to resist all of the numbness that we are surrounded by in the world, and we need to try and somehow return to, with all our senses awake and alive, being able to go into our room, close the door, and know God intimately. Sharpening up. This is what we're talking about, and it's good. So I will just say, let me be clear, I believe fasting is primarily not eating food, but I'm not going to suggest that for the week. I'm going to start as in slowly and easy. So you see in the book of Daniel what people call the partial fast. So he refrained from certain categories of food, but he still ate. And so what I'm suggesting is a sort of Daniel partial fast, but a 2021 bracketed addition to even the partial fast. So I'm being really kind to us. But in reality, I think some of us may actually probably prefer to not eat for a week. So this is what I'm suggesting. Are you with me? Are you up for it? There's nodding heads. Good, let's do this. Let's sharpen up. So what I'm suggesting is a partial Daniel-esque fast. If you want to fast from food, by all means. If you want to fast from essentially treats, and I will do that, I will try and just live basically Daniel-esque, the partial fast. I'll drink water, I'll eat normal food, no treats for the week. But what we're fasting from is noise. We're fasting from noise, and we're all going to do this. And so what do I mean by that? This is for you to figure out, obviously. There's no rule book I'm now going to produce. But I want us to achieve quiet and silence and stillness in a world of absolute madness and noise. We're going to fast from noise. So what does that mean? Distractions. No television, I suggest. No radio, no music, no listening to podcasts, no social media. I think that's the basic line we can go for. If you're going somewhere, I know Lewis isn't here, he'd be all up for this. We talk about it all the time. If Lewis goes anywhere, he puts on his headphones and he listens to music. And this time, he's not going to. He's going to walk and he's going to have his eyes open and his heart and his mind is going to be turned to God. 1 week, 6 and a bit days really. I think if we start tomorrow and we finish next Sunday, it's not even a week. So let's do it. We can do this. We can do it. But let's try, by any cost, whatever that means for you. You know, I've got 3 young kids. CBeebies will be on, hopefully in a different room. But, you know, I'm not going to do this to the children, wherever you are. Look, they're beaming now. But H and I, No box sets, no Netflix. No, you know, at work, I love having the radio on at work. No radio. And Rachel even said to me, you know, when I exercise, I have earphones on and it's loud. I can't stand exercising in silence, but somehow I'm going to try and do it and just listen to myself puffing and panting. But the whole point is, whatever I'm doing for a week, be it sat just in silence with him, or whether it's just the normal jobs we do, cleaning, tidying, gardening, mending your bike, whatever it is that we're doing, do it quietly and talk to Jesus. There's a song that Liv and loads of people like at the moment, and it's all about talking to Jesus. Whatever we're doing, are you with me? Are you up for it? Quiet. Put your phones away. I think doing this sort of thing, for most of us, we have some sort of low-lying addiction to social media. We do. And that will become apparent very quickly. But let's get through that and achieve silence and stillness. And whatever it is we're doing in the evening, if you've more time because, you know, we won't be watching something on TV, then talk to your husband or your wife or your children or your friend or your flatmate. Or maybe sit and you might be moved to write a letter quietly. Or whatever it is, we're going to go for it. We're going to fast from noise for 6 and a bit days. We can do this, guys. Let's do it and see how we feel next week. We're going to go into our rooms and we're going to close the door and it's going to be quiet. There's a guy called Dan Allender, and this is the title of this. I absolutely love this. He said, fasting from nourishment, activity, involvement, or pursuit for any season sets the stage for God to appear. That's what we're doing. That's what I've called this. This is what it'll be called on the website. Setting the stage for God. That's what we're going to do for the next 6 and a little bit days. By fasting, by removing all this noise and all the things that clamor for our attention and distract us and just clutter us up and bring numbness, we're going to put all of those away. We're going to turn in a really conscious, focused way to Him for a whole week. And we're going to seek Him, and we're going to pray, and we are going to set the stage for God to appear to us. That's what fasting does. Are we up for that? Do we need that? I suggest we do. In the world that we live in, I suggest we do. It's no good, Matt, bringing a word and saying, God wants to sharpen us up, and then we just talk and say, amen, brother, amen. Well, let's do it then. Let's sharpen up. Let's cut these things and all this noise out for 6 and a bit days. And we'll come back next Sunday morning, and we'll see how we all feel. And we'll see where we're at. And hopefully we won't have all gone nuts. But hopefully it'll be testimony. And people say, actually, I stopped and I was silent. And do you know what? God had a lot to say to me. And God's had a lot to do in me. And I really believe that's where it's at. I'm not just doing this because I think, oh, that's a nice idea. I feel moved to do this because I think it's where it's at for all of us. Setting the stage for God. In Habakkuk 2... And again, we haven't got time to do all of this, but I was thinking about the image of the watchman, you know, in the Old Testament, the people that went up high and got on the walls, and then they shouted down or reported what it was that they saw. And in Habakkuk 2:1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me up upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. That's what we're doing. Get up on the walls. We spend all of our time down there, don't we? In the busy streets, inside the walls, where we can't see anything. We just see what is flying in front of us, and it's noisy, and it's distracting, and it's smelly, and it's horrible, and we live there. That's fine. We're not designed to live in mountaintop experiences. We're designed to live in the valley. But let's get up this week for these 6 and a bit days. Let's climb up out of there, out of all the noise, and get up on the walls of our lives, essentially. And from up there, I suggest, it's quieter up there. Can't hear the hustle and bustle. We're going to achieve quiet, guys. We're going to get there. And from up there, you can see all the horizon. This is what the watchman did. And for us, what that will mean, and I think this will be very encouraging, and just, it's a moment to just basically step off the hamster wheel of life and the busyness. From up there, it's as if you can see all the areas of your life. And for me, that will be in the stillness, sitting, let's just say, for an hour, and being silent and quiet with God in the place of a program. Suddenly, I can just be still, and I can see me, I can see my family, and I can think about my children, and God can speak to me about my family. And then I can look somewhere else, and he can speak to me about church and work. And it's like each of us have different cities on our horizon, but we need to get up on the walls where it's quiet and the air is fresher and we can be still and allow God to speak to us. Habakkuk, I'm going to climb up and I'm going to wait and see what God says to me. Let's do that. I remember one of the most powerful moments for me, and I think in our home group we had a moment over this. When we did the prayer course, does anyone remember the picture of the speedboat that Pete Gregg gave, where the speedboat rushes through the water, and then after that moment, isn't it, the waves are doing this and going everywhere, and then it takes quite a long time for the waves to settle and for the sea to be quiet again. And he was encouraging people, we must find that point. And again, just in our group, several of us were like, well, I don't know if I've ever done that. You know, it's always like the waves are choppy. Well, this week we've got 6 and a bit days. We must get there. The speedboat will rush past. And I tell you now, come tomorrow morning, you'll get up and I hope try and find some time to start this, to be quiet, and your mind will just be racing. Distractions. It's a Monday morning. I'll be at work. I'll be here. I'll be there. And the speedboat will be in full flow. But throughout the week, we've got to get past those things, and being still and being quiet will help us get there. I want us all to get to the point where the waves have settled and we can just be with him in our room with the door shut, and he will reward us with himself. That's what we're aiming at. But guys, it's not easy. Distraction is real. Busy minds and lives are real, and children and all the rest of it. But be quiet and stick at it and spend time. It's worth it. We need to get there. There's a guy called Alexander McLaren, and he wrote this in commentary to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 is, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. And he wrote a commentary to that, and it was this. He says, there must be silence of the mind as well as of the heart and the will. We must not have our thoughts ever occupied with other things, but must cultivate the habit of detaching them from earth and keeping our minds still before God, that he may pour his light into them. Surely, if any generation needed the preaching, be still and let God speak, it's now. Even religious men are so busy with spreading or defending Christianity that they have little time, and many of them less inclination for quiet meditation and still communion with God. Newspapers and books and practical philanthropy and Christian effort and business and amusement so crowd into our lives now that it needs some resolution and some planning to get a clear space where we can be quiet and look at God. This guy wrote that in the mid-1850s. How hilarious is that? This guy at this point is saying, if ever there was a generation where we needed to be still and hear from God, he's talking about newspaper and all these distractions. And you know, it's like, wow. If we could put him here now, I think he'd just pass out, wouldn't he? He just wouldn't know what to do. And so, man alive, if there was ever a time for us to be still and let God speak, it's us. This John Piper quote, it's all the good things, it's the pleasures of life, it's the desires for other things which are good. But how often do we spend behind our closed door with him in secret where he rewards us, quiet? And the waves have settled and the busy thoughts and the madness has been stilled and we touch him there. Without that, I suggest we don't really have much Christianity, we just have words. Without that, our souls are not nourished. We don't know the warmth of his love. Just by singing songs and worship is great, but here, in the day-to-day of our lives, we must be knowing him at this level of stillness in amongst the madness. Again, we can't go into it because of the time restraint, but for those who are doing the Bible in a Year reading, a couple of weeks back, we just went through Hezekiah. Great story, and there's a moment in Hezekiah. In fact, I'll read a little bit to us. Where are we? Yeah, 2 Chronicles 29. Hezekiah reigns. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And Hezekiah was one of the good guys. It says this, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. And then he brought in the priests and the Levites, and he started this mammoth, very rapid restoration of God's house. And he called everyone in, and he said to the priests and the Levites, all of the things in there, carry out the filth from the holy place. And these people, they come back after about 8 days, puffing and panting, and they say, we've done it, Hezekiah. And then Hezekiah is just on this mission, and he restores temple worship. So he's like, right, we've cleaned that. All you priests over here who are doing nothing, go and consecrate yourselves and sort it out. Clean the temple out. Bring all the music back. Get the Levites. We're doing this properly. And he just has this moment. And then this really caught me in relation to this talk ahead of time as I suddenly announced this church fast on us. Right at the end of 2 Chronicles 29, after all this activity, it says, and Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because God had prepared for the people, for the thing came about suddenly. But what a thought that for this moment, as I suddenly bring all of this on us and say, we're going to fast for 6 and a bit days from noise. But the thought that God had prepared for the people as we set the stage for God to appear by cutting out these things and by fasting and by taking away luxuries and treats and focusing on him seriously and earnestly for a week to say, Lord, yeah, I'm going to be serious. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to seek you. That God has already prepared for this moment. I think that's brilliant. And I think God's saying that. And I think it should be encouraging us, exciting us to think, yeah, bring on Monday and let's see what this week looks like. I know it will bring challenge because it's not easy. And along that line, I'm going to finish in a minute, but there's a couple of things that will happen as we do this, if we take it seriously, and I hope we're all up for this. One, the whole 6 and a bit days will be just food for the soul, and you'll love it, and you'll feel like you're off the hamster wheel, and you'll feel nourished, and you'll feel close to God, and it will be a wonderful time. The second thing that could happen is that very quickly, as you sit quietly, or you do your jobs quietly, or whatever it is that you do, as you try and sit and pray, you will just discover your abject spiritual poverty and realize, wow, this is not easy. And I'm not really enjoying it. That's not a bad thing, may I say. And if really, for the whole week, you just feel like, 6 and a bit days, you're banging your head against a brick wall, and really you hate being quiet, and you hate silence, and all you want to do is just return to the noise, and when you pray, it's horribly dead, and there's nothing there, and when you read, you're just getting nothing out of it, and you just realize, wow, there's nothing here, then I suggest that's not a bad thing, but rather that it just pushes you more onto him. And if you're really feeling like that, next Sunday, you come and grab someone spiritual like Matt, and you say, Matt, will you pray for me? I need the Holy Spirit, because I've clearly, there's nothing happening here. All these guys, and I really mean this, I hope next Sunday, as has happened recently, people are up for just coming up and saying, do you know what? In those 6 and a bit days, God spoke this to me. Or God set me free from this. Or God did this, this, and this. I'd love nothing more than for, as we do this and we take it seriously as a church, I would expect that to be the case. But like I say, if that's not you and you're thinking, well, that didn't happen, and quite honestly, I feel worse than when before we started, then we'll pray, don't we? It's right, isn't it? It's not a bad thing, but that's probably what's going to happen. So I'm giving you a heads up. You'll either love it or you'll think, wow, this is hard work. Give me the radio back. So we're going to sharpen up, and then Matt's other thing was reach out. That was the word, wasn't it? Gather in as church family, sharpen up by having a time of fasting from noise, and then reach out. There's a great story of Mother Teresa speaking to a priest. This priest went to find her, and she asked him, how much do you pray? And he said, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. And she said, it's not enough. She said, it's not enough. And this guy was broken. And then in the end, she just said to this guy, and this is the quote, it's genius. She said, what you don't realize is that unless we have God, we are too poor to help the poor. And it just shattered this guy, because all he had was his lists of things that he did, and he prayed through them, but he didn't have God, he just had the form. And she said, you don't understand. And this is the point, if we're going to sharpen up, and if we're going to reach out, if we don't have God like this, if we don't have God in that room where we go and shut the door, in here, in reality, where it means something, and we're walking with him, as friends and children, then we are too poor to reach out and help the poor because we've got nothing to offer them. But if people filled with the Holy Spirit who know God and know his love and know how to get up on the walls and achieve quiet, then we can reach out. Then we can reach out. So that's what it's all about. 6 and a bit days. Are we up for it? Some people are looking at me like, sort of. And genuinely, right, if you're sat there, and I mean this, honestly, just purely from the bottom of my heart, if you're sat there and you're thinking, well, not really, and if really you're just thinking of loopholes at this point to like, well, he didn't say this, so I can definitely do that. And if you know, because again, don't come to me and ask for the rules. Mari, I gave Mari a heads up because she's doing social media stuff. And she said, what about the Bake Off? Because Mari started something with, so genuinely, it's an hour watching baking on telly. Feel free to do it. I'm not going to say, there's no Bake Off. You know, it's silence. So just genuinely do whatever. But if you are just sat there thinking of loopholes to think, well, this and this, then just don't do it. Because honestly, it will be worse for you if you start it half-heartedly. Any fasting is like that. If you do that with a proper normal fast, it just becomes about dieting. But it's not about that. That's what I mean. If we're up for this, let's do it. And we'll take it seriously and we'll cut these things out. But like I say, don't come to me after this and ask me for what the rules are. We're all big and I've given you the principle. It's noise. It's noise and distraction. And you figure it out after that. And really, I don't want us to go chasing some big spiritual moment either. I think if we do that, we've taken a wrong turn at the very beginning. Rather, I'd want us to do this and genuinely find stillness and quiet and soul nourishment. And then at the end of this week, think, do you know what? I'd like to change how I live my life. That for me would be the dream. Not some big flash in the pan spiritual. If that happens, wonderful. But rather I would think, wouldn't it be great if for those of us who say get up for work at 7, for this week, why don't you get up at 6:30 or 6 or 5:30 or whatever and find the time, it's really dark, to be quiet then. But 6 and a bit days, push yourself. Do something, you know, take it seriously and find the time to be quiet and to be still. And it's about doing whatever we can to resist the noise of the world and to set the stage for God to appear to us in a marked, special way for a special season, 6 and a bit days. Are we there? Good. Well, what I'm going to suggest, and again, this is not a big deal, but honestly, for those people who are thinking, Johnny, I'm hearing this, I'm up for this, and I want to respond to God in this moment, and I want to start, you know, tomorrow we'll do this, 6 and a bit days. If that's you and you're there and your heart is in it, I'm going to pray for us. And why don't all of you guys stand up, if that's you, and we'll all stand and I'll pray at the near start of it. Starts tomorrow. And then I'll hand over to Matt and he can close. Yeah? All right, well, if that's you, stand up and we'll pray. Father, we just take this moment, Lord, to take you seriously, Lord. Our hearts are hungry for you, Lord, and even if sometimes we're honest and we think, well, I don't even feel that hungry, Lord, that in itself just throws us onto you, Lord. We want to be sharpened up. We want to be of use to you, Lord, in being able to reach out. But Lord, more than anything, Lord, we want to know you. We want to be able to go into those rooms of ours, whatever they are, in our hearts, and to know you and to know your love. And just for, like Pete was praying in the meeting, just for that vital, just reality of spiritual life, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, Lord. All of us who are stood here for the next 6 and a bit days, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have prepared for us, Lord, and we are now just going to do our best to set the stage for you to come, Lord, and speak to us where we're busy and where we rush around, Lord. This week we will try and stop those things, Lord, just to find you. Lord, speak to us, I pray. Lord, minister to hearts, to souls. Holy Spirit, work in our lives. Bring joy, Lord. We've been singing about the joy of our salvation. May next Sunday just be a time of celebration, Lord, and of joyful singing to our God. Meet with us, Lord, we pray. Amen.